to me.
I still don't know how a ref can blow a game up 5 minutes early.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. It's Monday, which means it's Q&A day. And James, we're going back to February the 1st. So, new month, new questions.
It's just so you know, is it not Valentine's Day next Monday?
It is.
Cool.
It is.
Right, can we have some romantic Q&A questions for next Monday,
please? I'm not going to go into it, but ask me next week. Ask me what I'm doing for Valentine's Day next week.
Oh, okay.
As in, ask me on Monday next week.
What are you doing for Valentine's Day next week?
Yeah.
I'm doing two podcasts for you.
One of the Patreons. Put it in the questions for next week and I will tell you.
Do you know what I'll be doing? Recording.
Harry Lewis. A Burnley player is going to become FPL assets just because of the sheer amount of doublers on the cards.
No. All bollocks. Veghorst is okay because there's so many shit forwards at that value. Maxwell Cornet is okay as a punt. Don't mind that.
Player.
The defensive ones are probably worth avoiding. Kind of like we covered earlier with like Lowton, like what's happened there. You don't want to gamble Connor Roberts. You don't want to pay for me or Tarkowski. Goalkeeper Nick Pope, of course, great, brilliant. But you have to decide if that's the goalkeeper you want.
Harbour Boy, have you ever bought something from a TV infomercial?
A TV info, you mean an advert?
You mean like shopping TV channels, I think, and that kind of
shit. Oh, like QVC and shit. Yeah. What does that even stand for?
Quality.
It ain't.
Something channel.
Quality vintage channel.
Fuck knows. QVC. No. No, me neither.
No.
Me neither.
No.
Right, I was going to Google what QVC
I'm not gonna
stands for.
I'm not going to pretend that that sort of shit hasn't been on the TV while I've been editing a spreadsheet or something lately, but yeah.
Nah. FPL Tractor, what do you guys think of a wildcard in 28 rather than 31 or later? Download the latest podcast.
I expected on my stream on Friday, I had a question about it and I seen loads of people mention it and I said, I don't get it. Like I don't get it. So I've looked at it.
Fixture swings.
I still
what it's
don't.
About.
Yeah, there's fixture swings. Sure. I still don't really get it. I expected quite a bit of bombardment off the back of that stream going, well, actually, James, and all I had was one message from one of our patrons, Alex Ball, Alex Water Baby, who joined us for the 24-hour stream. And he said, I think I'm not doing it now.
Jarvo, following in from my comments on Tottenham about the Noble interview with Rio, what's the best long-form interview you have watched with a footballer and what insights did you gain from it? I can't say I've watched many.
What was the Gary Neville one with Harry Kane?
Overlap.
I got from it that he wanted to leave.
Yeah, exactly that. As a West Ham fan, I found Noble's views and stories fascinating, but I'm sure that other football fans would also appreciate the discussion points. To be honest with you, I've watched a few of the overlaps. I've seen...
I always think a few of them look interesting. I've never got the time.
I've seen Harry Kane's.
Yeah.
I've seen the first little bit of Frank Lampard's, but there's more too. Obviously, he's got one coming out with Declan Rice because they did the preview one first. I don't know who else he's done them with. There's Rice that'll be more interesting than Kane's, to be fair. Actually, one thing I can guarantee you is that when Rice says he won't say I'm leaving. He won't say I'm not turning up for training.
Well, Harry Kane didn't say them things. Don't you understand?
Yeah, read between the lines.
He was misunderstood.
Misunderstood.
Isn't that clear now? 30 goals short of Jimmy Greaves' record. I would like to watch that Noble Ferdinand one. I know you sent me the link.
There's a shop in Finchley, trophy shop.
I need to just stick it on the background one night.
If the patrons will have a whip round, you can get Harry Kane a trophy for being your top one.
Listen, I really don't get how a West Ham fan can start out with me.
About what? Not winning trophies?
Yeah.
It's not about trophies. It's about Kane. Like, leaving and going to win trophies. Like, he should have gone and left to win trophies. This is my point. It's not about whether you win trophies or not. I don't care about you.
I feel the same for Declan Rice now.
But he will go and win trophies. That's the thing.
Well, Harry's lost his moment, yeah. But
gone.
We've got Antonio.
Conte.
Tottenham's not even till Thursday.
Oh, dear. The best long-form interview. I find them all interesting, but when you go long form, I love the old stories. I suppose my favourite, because
yeah,
actually...
the older ones, I agree with that, yeah.
The one I liked, which is still on YouTube, is Harry Redknapp with one of the Sky guys, Darmish, whatever his surname is, I don't know. Because Harry Redknapp.
Darmish Chef.
Is that his name?
Yeah, it's two words.
Yeah, I just don't know his surname. I've never known.
Yeah, Darmish Chef. Which you have to say, like, no one calls him Darmish.
Harry
Darmish Chef.
Harry Redknapp's always good for a story or two.
He is.
So, yeah, his is always funny as well. But I think with Harry Redknapp's, if you watch it now, you can see a real contrast between like the 90s, the 2000s, and then the modern day, what's going on with transfers and the way you manage players and all this kind of stuff. Gary Shepp, with Valentine's coming up, what would your Tinder profile say? Fuck knows, mate. Do you know what, though? I watched the...
Mine would say single.
Me and my missus the other day watched the program on Netflix called The Tinder Swindler. Worth a watch. This guy that managed to persuade a few women to give him, not like a few thousand, he's talking hundreds of thousands, as a scammer on Tinder. So basically, you know, went out a few dates with them, got them roped in, and then suddenly
I've
needed
heard that
money.
A bit the other way around, not so much that way.
Yeah. Anyway, hundreds of thousands, mate. And I was talking to him, I was like, Tinder's one thing. Like, we got married before Tinder existed. So it's a kind of cultural thing that just completely bypassed. Like, I've never had the app, never downloaded it, don't even know. I know you swipe left, swipe right, but the culture of Tinder, I never got into
it,
because it passed
me by. Is swipe
left
good or bad? Because I wouldn't know either.
Fuck knows. You swipe one way or the other. So my Tinder profile would say...
So rude.
But fuck me. If I'd have known that you can make a lot of money out of Tinder... No, it's a poor form, that. It's really bad what that guy did. I recommend the documentary, though.
When are we going to start our app, our Planet FPL Tinder app, Suj, where we get people to pick their transfers by swiping left or right?
We designed this 2 years ago and never made it. Who would you give your last Rolo to?
I would give it to my wife to shut her the fuck up.
It's my youngest son. He's all right, he is. He likes chocolate. So, Harbour Boy, a lot of the commentary on the transfer windows have been about Newcastle have done enough to stay up. And Veghorst should help Burnley stay up, or Hodgson should help Watford stay up. But three teams still need to go down. They can't all stay up. Who do you pick for relegation?
Oops. Burnley, Watford and Norwich.
Yeah, agreed. Pillow's Pen, how does James feel about putting on a red and white shirt to play for the South in game week 39? You're going to wear something underneath?
No, it's actually not a problem, because little do you all know that during my schoolboy and Sunday league days, I always played in red.
Okay.
I didn't have a fucking choice.
Alex Turner, considering results of the transfer window, who's your bottom six at the end of the season? Well, you gave a bottom three. Also Norwich. Newcastle.
Yeah.
Everton. Are they going to stick in and around there?
I'm going to say yes.
Should chuck Leicester in for shits and giggles?
No, I'll say Brentford.
Okay, agreed. Brentford's a good shout. TJ Powell, is Steve Bruce playing managerial bingo and getting close to a full house? He's not doing badly, is he? And I also don't think it's a bad appointment for West Brom.
No, I don't. I was surprised that it was 18 months rather than just end of the season. Because even if he gets them promoted, he'll be sacked by Christmas. So, but it's good for him.
Yeah.
Same with Roy. Get your payoff if that's what's coming. He knows the league very well. He's proven several times he can get out of it. They do have good players. Just for whatever reason, it's not been working for them. They're not that far adrift of the automatics, although playoffs is probably more likely at this stage. So, yeah. I mean, where hasn't he managed in the Midlands? Wolves? I don't think he's managed Wolves.
No, he hasn't managed Wolves.
He hasn't done like Forest, Leicester.
Was he at Villa?
Yeah. So he's done Villa, Birmingham, West Brom. I mean, they all don't like each other. I mean, no. He needs Wolves to complete the set.
Yeah.
Really.
James, this one's for you. As we are, as you say, James, all your children. Do you say that, do you?
I might have done before I've had a drink, yeah.
Which of us gets, this is from Stian, which of us gets three meals a day, a comfy bed and a night-night story? And who lives in the cupboard under the stairs eating Andy Martin's leftover porridge?
Night story. It's got to be Joe Murphy, hasn't it?
Okay, yeah. It's got to be. Yeah.
Joe, look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks, pal.
Yes. Anybody that's put their name down for that, more information to follow on Friday.
Okay, cool. Thanks for dialoguing that with me.
I'll just get a summary of what's happening more than anything else. I'm away for 2 days.
If you haven't stuck your name down, stick your fucking name down.
Yeah, do it, please.
What was the second part of the question?
Who's cupboard getting, under the stairs.
Who's in the cupboard under the stairs?
Yeah.
I'm going to say, why would they be in the cupboard under the stairs? Is that because they've been naughty? Or?
Yeah, eating Andy Martin's leftover porridge. You're child abusing.
I'm
going to
go for Jamie. Jamie Roberts, Gaffer Fantasy. Because I don't know if he was talking about strange foods on his podcast last week.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
And on my Zoom call.
Do you know, one of my, we're talking about interviews with footballers that I like. So Erling Haaland did one the other day. I don't even know if it was BT Sky or whatever. And the interviewer's asking him, like, what's your favourite foods and stuff? So he's like, what's your favourite meal? You know what he said?
Nuggets.
Kebab.
No way.
You the boy.
No way.
He goes, kebab. But obviously he's in Germany. They have their kebabs are far superior to the shit we get here.
Tottenham High Road now, they've got like best German doner or something like
German
that.
German doner kebab.
Yeah. Is that better for you, is it?
No, it still is. It tastes good.
Do you know how annoyed I was?
It tastes good when you're eating it.
Obviously, I come out of the pub because I watched the Leicester game down Tottenham High Road. And I was like, oh, little best German doner. Mark your card there on the way out of the pub. Come out the pub. Oh, yeah, come on, let's go down that German doner, see what it's like. Closes at 9 o'clock.
Oh,
what?
Forget that.
What kind of fucking kebab shop closes at 9 o'clock at night? Mate. Most of them don't open till then.
My youngest noticed the other day that a chicken Big Mac had been introduced at McDonald's. I have never seen someone eat something with so much joy as I watched my little boy eat a chicken Big Mac. It looks fucking tiny.
That looks a bit OTT, doesn't it?
It's decent.
Have you had one?
Yeah, it's fine. But it's just the fact of an 8-year-old destroying the burger that was that big. I was so proud of him. But okay, we're getting distracted by food here.
That happens.
Option A, buy Andy Robertson in game week 24 and then move Jota to Salah in 26.
This fucking FPL question.
Or skip Robertson, buy a Wolves defender in 24 and do Trossard to Salah in 26. I'd go with option A. I'm doing Robertson, Trent, Salah as my Liverpool trio as opposed to Jota, Salah, Trent, even though the latter three did me so well.
Go on, fire me again.
Robertson to 24 and then Jota to Salah, or Robertson to a Wolves defender and then Trossard to Salah.
You ain't selling Robertson, surely.
No, it says skip Robertson, sorry. Oh, get a Wolves defender instead. Sorry.
Yeah, I'd skip. That's the way I'm going to go. For me, it's costing me 2 transfers to have Robertson instead of Jota, and I can't afford to do that. That's it.
Stian says, lose Robbo or Jota for Salah in 26. Make your decision.
If you're losing Jota.
John Jaco, this week we have had Ali McCoist and Alan Brazil slag off Dele Alli for coming to training in an Aston Martin. We've now had Glenn Hoddle slag him off for what he was dressed as when he paraded in front of Goodison, although that jacket was Larry. And what's the media's issue with digging out English footballers in this way? Have they got a point, or are we trying to be controversial to gain listeners?
I think I'm of a kind of old school mentality in terms of when your first impression in front of your new fans, you are either smartly dressed or you're in club tracksuit colours, one or the other, generally. But at the same time, as you kind of alluded to about when you're talking about Harry Redknapp, game's changed, right? That's how Dele wants to show himself off, fine. I think that I want Dele to be judged on the pitch, which I don't think necessarily is going to be good for him. But it's not kicking while he's down. No. I'm a little bit scared that... Fast forward 3-4 years and he's retired.
Well, yeah, or with no club, looking for a club type situation, you know.
I just think he might just completely lose interest in it. I hope I'm wrong.
His interview after he signed was pretty
vanilla. I've not seen the interview.
It was just, you know, I'm excited, it's a challenge, it's a big club, I'm excited. No, but it was, there was nothing of any anything specific. It was very much the bat the question back with a very generic answer type conversation. So he goes, look, I've spoken to Frank, I spoke to the board, I'm really happy, it's a new challenge, I'm really excited. It was very short answers. There wasn't like anything, he didn't acknowledge that I'd obviously had a difficult time at Spurs or anything like that. It was very, very,
I think,
simple.
To be fair,
I'm not criticizing. It's not a criticism. I'm just saying
to
it
be
was
honest,
what
I think,
it was.
Like, it's another one of them. He's Dele Alli and he can't win whatever he does. So he posts on social media a really nice video to Spurs fans and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I don't think you then need to walk into Everton and still be talking about Tottenham. Mm. Like, unless you're asked, let that go. It's a new phase for you now.
Yeah. Dan L says, well, he's got a long question. We'll save that for when there's some downtime. Every Premier League club is a band. I don't think I can do that one. But what's the greatest goal you've witnessed in purpose? Yeah. Liverpool, the Beatles, Man City's Oasis, you know, and so on and so on.
Oh. Well, what would West Ham be? The Sex Pistols or something.
I've seen something like Cockney Boys.
Who did, Cockney Boys or something. Is that who played you out at fucking the bowling? Who was it? The Cockney Rebels or something? What was
possibly.
It?
Possibly. Who would Spurs be?
Be Chaz and Dave, wouldn't we?
Chaz and Dave. What's the greatest goal you witnessed in person?
I'm going to say, it's difficult to go against the Puskas Award, isn't it? The Sonny goal against Burnley. But he didn't give me the...
He's going to do it.
I knew he was going to do it. Like once he got beyond the halfway line, it was like the way they were coming to him and he was going, it was like, well, if he gets a touch on it, he's in. And then when he gets in, he's not the sort of player you expect to miss. But he didn't... It was like a go on, but we're winning 2-0, so it doesn't have that. I am going to say Stephen Carr against Manchester United in 1999.
I'm going to give it recency bias to Masuaku's goal against Chelsea a couple of months ago, just because I was next to the away fans and
it's cross
abuse. Science has not provided the evidence yet. this one's a very quick one for you, James. Dan, he's already asked you this, but just wanted to know if you changed your mind after watching your lot on Saturday. He's got the money for Kane or Son in 26. Originally, I'm sure you said Son. Have you changed your mind?
It's close.
Yeah. See, I could go Kane. When I lose my Ronaldo money, I could go Kane instead of Son. I just need a cheaper midfielder.
So, you know, like in that December period where I was just kind of defiantly, I know how good he is. Trust me.
But no one doubted how good he is. It's just he wasn't performing.
Well, yeah, but then actually in kind of that Norwich-Brentford period, he was starting to play better. It just wasn't going in, actually.
But I mean, his new manager settled in now, finally.
The last few performances, Saturday, and obviously particularly the Leicester game, really looked like Harry Kane the fucking business, to the point that I wouldn't say that I'm not definitely buying him myself, because the Ronaldo hole is there and I don't want it. I don't want it. And I'm even thinking, should I get Harry and captain him against Southampton? And then I think, don't do that, James. Fucking Wolves and Man City afterwards as well. It depends on your setup. Are you... The problem you might have with Kane, if you go Kane, think about this logically. If you go Kane now, what are you doing when you move him on? Where are you going? You're not going to Ronaldo. You're probably not going to Jamie Vardy. Where are you going with it? You coming down again? Of course you can do that. No problem. Sonny, there's more areas to go, isn't there?
Yeah. Sam O'Sullivan says, who's the best third forward to get on wildcard if Breuer is out? Willing to spend up to 6.5 million, they'll need to play in 27.
Adam Eder.
Cheap and save the money and use it elsewhere.
And it's not the worst fixture. Southampton away.
FPL Mango, is Brendan Rodgers in danger of losing his job in the next month? Is that the winner of the People's Poll?
It is.
Ask that question to...
Mr. Aaron Lagor will be joining me for that podcast.
Nice. But yeah, I mean, if they get to the point where it's inevitable that it's going to happen at the end of the season, although what are you going to do between now and the end of the season? just ride it out. You never know. It might take them somewhere in the Conference League.
I don't think they'll do anything. Like if suddenly it was, oh, Brendan Rodgers has been sacked, I'd be surprised. But I think he's in territory now where one more really bad result and he's lost them.
Sam O'Sullivan says, who's the best Crystal Palace midfielder or forward to get on a wild card, bearing in mind Gallagher can't double in 26? If you're wild carding now, you have to buy a different one.
Midfield or forward was the question. Edward.
Odson Edward. What's he now? Still six and a half?
Maybe 6'6", I think.
Yeah. Any reason? You may as well just give
more. Well, it fills the forward fucking spot that it's difficult to fill
right now. Lauren says, other than your two clubs going through, what was your favourite FA Cup moment at the weekend?
Nottingham Forest second goal, because it was funny. Kidderminster looking like they were going to win, obviously. I enjoyed watching Bournemouth Wood last night. I enjoyed my wife suffering watching the penalties of Man United Middlesbrough, thinking that it might still be going on when she went to bed, which was annoying her greatly.
Mad.
I'm like, what would you rather, darling? That it went to a replay?
I'm going to give it to... there was a moment in our game, like I said, I didn't watch enough to justify anything else, where Benrahma had the ball and he was running down a blind alley back towards the halfway line. And he didn't know where to go. And...
Kidderminster
player.
Kiddy.
Just like sped up two steps and completely took him out with a wicked slide tackle. And sometimes you're like, you know what? Fucking needed that, Benrahma. Like, wake the fuck up. You can't dawdle on your way back to the halfway line. And the guy just sped up, bang, went in, took him out, took the ball out. And I was like, good for fuck's sake, you wanker. And also Yarmolenko's dive. Do you know what I like about the best thing about Yarmolenko? Is when they put him up on the BBC and they're doing all the things and they bring up a little chyron sometimes without the player's name. They always have to bring up his Ukraine stats because his West Ham stats are so shit. 44 goals and 106 caps. I'm like, that's good because he got fuck all for us.
How many goals he got for Ukraine?
Exactly.
No, seriously, how many has he got?
44 in 106 appearances.
44 goals for Ukraine. He's probably scored more goals with his right foot Ukraine than he's kicked for West Ham with his right foot.
It's a joke. You know, you're like, he's playing for West Ham. Why you got to bring up his Ukraine stuff? Because he's done fuck all for us, hasn't he? Wankers.
Bad times when you got to dive against a sixth division player, isn't it?
What a joke. That guy's got to go. Claire Easley says...
I love that, though. People saying, I saw this mentioned. It was like some West Ham fan account. I don't know why it popped up on my timeline. But the question was, is this the last we've seen a Yarmolenko in a West Ham shirt? And I'm like, you fucking fools. The window closed last week.
Exactly that. Claire says, did you give the job to the starstruck interviewee? I didn't.
Did you not?
No, we didn't. And he sent quite an abusive email afterwards.
Did he?
But I tell you what, which is...
So he was starstruck and then he gave an abusive email?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It wasn't good. But also, just on the on something completely different, and it reminds me of the Anthony Elanga stuff after... Elanga stuff after he missed the penalty and all the racist abuse.
Yeah.
We didn't give a job to a guy last week. And he fucking sent us Neil, a racist email afterwards.
What?
So he got a Zoom interview. He didn't get called back to the final round, which was face to face, two people. And he said, oh, I can only assume from not getting called back to the final interview that you only employ Asians because you're an Indian business and you Indians don't know how to run a company. You people need to fucking this. And I was like, hang on a second. So he goes, you're a discriminator in your recruitment process because you only hire Indians. I was like, okay, hang on. So I sent him an email back. I was like, look, firstly, I counted up the nationalities, 10 different nationalities across 50 people here, right? You should need to just watch our, we've put up fucking 500 YouTube videos sitting next to you, bastard.
Yeah,
Maybe I should
white boy.
Exactly. I might have to reach out to the wire boys.
Just face paint.
We need a bit more colour here, mate. You need to go. So anyway, I sent him an email back. Said, look, it's not, whatever. And, by the way, call in saying something like "you people" is considered quite racist. I'll put it down to your ignorance, but someone else might not be so forgiving. And he sent me another abusive email back after. It's completely ignoring the fact that he'd been racist. Anyway, people need to stop being racist, for fuck's sake. Anyway, he's
fucking hell. What gives with people?
Do you know what I mean? It's like You didn't get the job because you weren't good enough, mate. Anyway, Danny W, what number should your best penalty taker go in a shootout? First or last, right, really? Set the tone or at the end? Because if you, like, one of the things with Saka and that taking penalties in the Euros, if you're at the end, the pressure's on, right? In the middle, second or third, if you miss it, shootout's not over. Whereas if you miss the fourth or fifth, the shootout could be over. So I feel like first or last makes more sense.
I think it should be first. But I also think there is some merit to the best penalty taker being last, which when it comes off like it went for Salah yesterday or Ronaldo a few years ago, where they don't even take the penalty kick, it obviously looks bad. Because really, really, in a penalty shootout, you want to be in a position where you're winning. That's the main thing, right? You look at like Man United and Middlesbrough the other night, and it was like every time Man United were taking the penalty, it was just to fucking equalise. It becomes hard work. So the idea is your best penalty takers go first. Make sure you get ahead. You put the pressure on the opponent.
Yeah, again, I guess if you're taking it first or
that
second.
That said, the flip of that is, once you get to the fifth penalty, essentially you're in a sudden death moment.
Mm-hmm.
Why not put the person in that position who's most familiar with the pressure of taking the penalty?
Yeah.
So I do understand the other way around it goes. I know there was a study many years ago that suggested that the weakest of the five players should take the third penalty for the exacts. So you should have your penalty takers in order of something like first, fifth, second, fourth, third, in terms of if you're ordering your five order, something like that. There is some merit to it, but generally speaking, I think like if you can take the first penalty, take the first penalty. I thought in the last 16 game they had, who did they beat on penalties in the last 16? Ivory Coast. I'm pretty sure that he won the toss, Salah, and let Ivory Coast take the first penalty kick, which I couldn't believe. I haven't seen anyone do that for fucking donkeys. If you win the toss, you take the first penalty, even if you yourself are going to take the fifth. I don't think it's all about that. Oh, the glory, the winning penalty at the end. There is some theory to it, but yeah, look, if Tottenham have a penalty tomorrow, I want Harry to go up first. Bottom line.
Danny McDonald, are you glad Scott Parker didn't end up as Spurs manager?
It was never really on the cards, was it?
No.
But one day he might be. I wouldn't. He's doing okay at Bournemouth. They obviously had a terrible result last night. It might work into their blessing.
FA Cup is not their priority.
If they finish second in the league.
Yeah. Tom Laslett, you probably cover it in the main pod, but thoughts on the controversial handballs in the United versus Middlesbrough and Burnley versus Watford games? Feels like there could be another rule change coming soon. We didn't cover it, James.
Burnley-Watford penalty was 50-50 as far as I was concerned. I felt that a lot of what I was seeing on the timeline, which I was going in the stadium at the time at Tottenham, so I wasn't watching the game. A lot of what I was seeing on my timeline felt like a lot of people who were very desperate to have a Josh King penalty I saw it back. Because what I was reading on Twitter was, it's a penalty. Oh, I can't believe it's not a penalty. And when I saw it back, I was like, it could have been given, it might not have. There was certainly an element of arm away from body. And I think most of the time you'd probably get it, but it was quite close proximity. Technically, I think the Middlesbrough goal should probably be ruled out, but by law, it's absolutely correct because it is completely accidental. My argument with that is whether intentional or not, he's gained an advantage by the fact that the ball hit his hand. And I think we have to use a bit of common sense here where everything, again, it's forensically. Okay, it hit his hand. How did it hit his hand? Yada, yada, yada. Can we look at it and say the ball hit his hand? It was completely accidental. But then it basically stopped in his path so he could cross the ball. He's gained an advantage, even though he didn't mean it. And that's led to a goal. That's quite important. But I have to say, one more important thing I want to say about that, about the fact that that Middlesbrough goal stood. I didn't see anybody afterwards going, big six bias. Silence from Suge, doesn't
well, yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But basically, a couple of weeks ago, United got away with a couple of decisions against Villa where it was like, oh, yeah, it's big six bias, they're forensically analysing something. Well, they didn't this time. I'm absolutely convinced that referee standards are poor. There is no bias towards a Big Four, a Big Six, or a Premier League clubs. Or Plymouth got a penalty in the 118th minute at Chelsea the other day. A lot of the times a referee would bottle that, but actually was brave enough to give it. So I don't see. And then that was the same. As soon as it came back around, there was an incident in one of the other games at the weekend. I think it was a Liverpool incident with Kelleher. And it was straight away, Big Six bias. Man, have you fucking been watching this weekend? Like, anyway, that's my rant over. I just think it's a really tiresome argument from people who don't support one of those six clubs. It's quite boring.
Yeah. Amrabat Man Joe, what's your favourite moment from AFCON? His was the Comoros story.
The Comoros story is absolutely brilliant, with the left back having a playing goal, and then the fact that they played nearly the whole game with 10 men, could have got something out of it. The best bit is unquestionably, though, the fucking referee blowing five times before the whistle.
I was gonna pick the same thing, and we haven't even talked about
literally
it.
Literally has to be.
I still don't know how a ref can blow a game up 5 minutes early.
And then still carry on and still do it. It's unbelievable.
I still don't know how that's possible. That's got to be the story.
I feel bad that on Friday, again on my stream on Friday, I said on the final for Cameroon and Egypt, do yourself a favour, don't bother watching it. Come back about two and a half hours after kickoff and watch the penalty shootout after it's finished 0-0. And sure enough, that's what happened. I actually feel bad that that's what happened.
Phil Broadbent, any benefit of wildcarding 25 instead of 24? Fixtures to be announced before the 25 deadline, for example. Any particular reason?
So you mentioned the idea of wildcarding 25. So how do you feel after that pod earlier?
No, it was 26 that I would wildcard, but I can't because...
26 is dead. It's a mad
I've got the triple
sense.
Captain, yeah. So I'm kicking it forward. I'm not going to wildcard 25.
Not even the case of that. You should land quite well for game week 26 anyway.
I've got 7 doublers as it stands.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not for me. No.
So wild card's off for you now, is it?
At the moment, yeah.
Good job fucking Leicester won that poll, wasn't it?
Yeah, tell me about it. Harry G, who is the Wolves defender to go for? Kilman, Cody or 8 Nori? Looking for the ideal Alonso replacement, considering doubles and blanks.
Depends what you want. And all I mean by that is, if you want the absolute secure, nailed... full fifth defender on the bench, go with one of the centre-backs, Kilman, I'd say. But if you want to live a little and don't mind a little bit of risk, go with 8 Nori. And I think the risk in that is just in terms of possible little bit of rotation. I think he's definitely first choice, as we covered. The centre-backs are an absolute lock. They are guaranteed to play.
Ola Stamos, best defender for the next 5 game weeks, no City or Liverpool, and will use free hit in 27 most probably. Luka Dean? He hasn't got a double.
Best Villa?
No, defender.
For what, the next 3 game weeks?
5 game weeks.
Next 5 game weeks. So what are we going up to? 28? Cucurella.
Because of the double? And the fixtures?
And then good fixtures afterwards, where then you can make a choice whether you play him or not. I would say Kieran Tierney, if you were... covered for 25
on the double.
And free hit in 27 or something like that. I think, yeah, the value, obviously, Robertson, Trent, fairly standard. It's probably a bit boring to say that. I'll throw Cucurella in there. And the cheapie is, yeah, 8 Nori.
Phil Broadbent says, another question. All the plans I see involve using the wild card in conjunction with the bench boost. If you've already used the bench boost, would you be tempted to wild card earlier?
No. It depends on the shape of your team, right? Like, so
you use it when you need to.
I just wouldn't be making that many changes at the moment. You can't even see the clear path. Someone sent a tweet the other day, and I saw it because I want to say it was Flapjack, maybe. I can't remember. In fact, I think it was Josh Paxman from the surgery tweeted back and said, "I'm waiting to see what Planet FPL Pod says, and until then, I ain't doing nothing." But it was in response to someone who'd said, "I'm not doing anything till I can see the clear path." And there's that as well. I wouldn't want a wild card at the moment when, what if my predictions are wrong? What if Burnley Leicester's not in 27? Mm. What if I'm gambling on my planning steaming into Chelsea in 28 and they don't double? What if there is no extra fixtures in 29? What if we end up with 6 or 7 fixtures in 30 rather than what we're expecting? And that is possible. Then it's different games. You can't see the path at the moment.
Darren says, I'm so simple. What the fuck is an NFT?
Please answer that, Suj.
There's going to go YouTube. It's like you can turn a digital thing, a JPEG, a tweet or whatever, into something that someone can own and what have you. I'm not into NFT culture really, so I'm the wrong person to answer. I understand what they are. I just don't see the point.
There'll be a pod soonish on this kind of idea / fan tokens going to come back around again.
No doubt. Dylan F, if you could choose one player in history to convert a penalty to win the Champions League, who would it be? And one goalkeeper to save a penalty, who would it be?
Penalty, I'll take Ronaldo. Penalty at the moment, I would take Ivan Toney of Brentford.
Okay.
Just literally does not look like he's going to miss.
I'd say Ronaldo, just because he didn't deal with the pressure.
But Tony don't deny it. He just walks up to the ball, looks at the goalkeeper and goes, I'm going to put it out of your reach. Like, what are you going to do about it? Goalkeeper. It's a good question. Someone massive.
I'll take Donnarumma right now, mate. He's fucking huge, isn't he?
That's just not a bad shout.
Donnarumma. I just look at him and I think he reminds me of Honey Monster from Sugar Puffs. They're fucking huge. Donnarumma.
He was like mad.
He's mad.
Mad penalty saving goalkeeping king.
Bruce Grobbelaar, jelly legs.
Oh, Peter Schmeichel. Casper Schmeichel's not bad at them either.
Yeah, I'll still say Donnarumma. Dylan also wants to know, what's your go-to order from the Indian? James will have the fucking yogurt.
Blood.
And the rice, plain rice as well, not even the pilau.
Fucking yogurt. Mixed grill, isn't it?
I can't answer that. I'll eat everything. Mixed grill, chicken tikka, fucking curries, rices, biryanis, samosas. I'll have it all, mate.
I'm going to have an Indian with my wife one day this week. There you go.
Nice.
I'm going to have a mixed grill with a yogurt, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. What, is that because you want to keep your job?
I've got to be down with the culture, haven't I?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's it, mate.
Where's Dylan based? Dylan, if you're in London, one day we have to pencil in going for a curry. Planet FPL curry night. I think that will work really well. Adam says, would you captain Salah this week if you owned him? Fucking, I'm getting excited about the Planet FPL curry night. I will.
I don't know what I'm doing yet. I really don't know. Apparently he's back, isn't he? The fuck? I might just get him and go, fuck it. It's just, there is a little bit of me that's of the thought process of, do you know what? Life has been so much easier for me this year, just blindly going with him and the rest will be what it'll be.
Right.
And if word comes out before deadline tomorrow that
he's
back in training, well, I just think even in training, he might by default still end up being the most captain player this week because it really is split. KDB, Cancelo, Jared Bowen, Harry Kane, Heung-min Son, Trent.
Jarvo wants to know, we've abandoned our bid for the 2030 World Cup. Thoughts? We're kind of sort of due one. I don't mind.
I haven't read the story of this, but it was something I was anticipating.
Good.
Which...
us having a World Cup is just another opportunity for everyone to get pissed up and fucking trash the streets.
Okay, so it's coming 2 years earlier instead of going for the Euros in 2028.
Oh, fuck.
So that didn't work out for you, did it? Holiday booked.
Well, I'm going to win Euro Millions and be in Bali, so we're good.
Okay. Yeah. Euro 2028. How old will Harry be by then? What year are we in?
In 2022, mate.
22. It'd be 9 by then. That's all right, isn't it? That'll stop me going down the pub anyway, won't it?
Rackshit. We'll keep it short. Best Lowton replacements. Well, at that price, you've got to go Wolves in you. How much is Lowton these days?
4-4, I guess.
Yeah, so 8 Nori.
Ray and 8 Nori, yeah, is to be honest, is the standout one. Consider Brandon Williams. If you're not looking to use bench boost or anything like that soon, you're just looking for a bit of cover. Obviously, it doesn't work if you're looking for game week 30 cover, but what, he's 3.9. He's definite regular first starter. He's playing every game, and they do actually have some decent fixtures coming up. We've got Palace this weekend, then there's two rough ones. Then they do have a good run of fixtures, and they're just kind of ideal for the fifth sub. Particularly if you know you're going to wild card at like 33 or something like that, and you just want that definite play in, I'd consider it.
Sean B, when are you wildcarding fantasy champ man?
Fuck knows.
Same. I'm not playing.
Sorry.
Never.
I've had a bad start. Just about made deadline last week. It's not gone well. I missed fucking deadline in Scotland this week as well. Best week I'd had in fucking ages.
Atul says, with respect to your football teams, are you performance-oriented or results-oriented? Performance every time.
No, it's not every time.
I have to
time.
Be with West Ham because we fucking lose so many games it's in the
not,
last
it's,
minute.
It's not every time because reality is, if we always beat Arsenal 1-0 and were shit every time, I would not care.
Yeah.
But if we played Norwich 38 times and were shit every week and won 1-0 every week, that wouldn't be cool. Mm. So there is a little bit of a balance of each. I think football is still about moments. I spoke about it after the Leicester game in terms of comparing the thrill of that to even... We scored a 90, it was 94th minute when we actually won that League Cup final against Leicester. And that's obviously great to win a trophy in the last minute. But then you reflect on the two and the fucking league game was better. And that's partly because it was so deserved on the day. So deserved with the way we played. So, yeah, performance is really important to me. But there is a balance between...
Get the job done.
When it matters most, when it comes to the crunch right at the death, you take the result. When you have to win on the final day and you play really well and you draw 2-2, it's not going to wash, is
it?
So he's somewhere in the middle.
What about your FPL team? Thinking or results-oriented? Results. Like the thought, the logic that goes into the making the decision, even
process.
If it doesn't work out.
Process. Mm. Yeah, like I said that earlier on the
podcast. Because FPL is a lot more luck.
I watch Newcastle Everton tomorrow night. I won't sit there and if I go for Ronaldo, I won't sit there and go, I've got three Man United players. I've got to watch Burnley Man United. I don't care. The decision's been made. I'd rather watch Newcastle against Everton. Mm.
Gary Robinson, he'll definitely be watching Manchester United tomorrow. Says, if you're correct, and double game at 36, could see a lot of teams doubling, 12, 14 teams.
I've got it at 14 at the moment.
Surely the lessons of needing to save a wild card is not relevant because we'll have a lot of doublers anyway and it won't take too many transfers to get through the doublers. Agreed, yeah, we've been saying that all along.
It's very, very true. It's what's said on the pod today is I kind of listed the six teams that at the moment I've got as only having a single fixture in game week 36 and you'd land with an amazing team almost no matter what, if that's the case. But... it might not be. And you have to bear that in mind as well.
Stian says, will Lampard unlock the talent left in Dele Alli and Donny van de Beek? Well, van de Beek,
I think
he just hasn't had game time.
Lampard is definitely the right sort of person for Dele Alli and individual to go and play for. Van de Beek is very to be confirmed. As part way, I want to watch Newcastle ever and I'm fascinated to see what's going to happen there. I suspect neither of them will start.
I think he will. Like, if you ask me to gamble now, will they do well or won't they? I think they will. I'm going to be optimistic and say they will.
I'm going to go no.
Lampard's an arm around the shoulder type manager. He's not a kicking and screaming manager, and he'll build up the confidence in him.
No,
again.
But he alienated a lot of people at Chelsea at the same time.
Did he?
How was he not playing Rudiger for a year? Look at Rudiger.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what happened there.
So.
Yeah, Rudiger plays on the edge quite a bit, doesn't he? Finton, if Burnley go down, what level of club should be looking to pick up Dwight McNeil?
Dwight McNeil needs to step up massively in these next few months. Because we sit here a lot and we go, good talent, good player. And there's nothing there. There's nothing there from an output perspective. And I'm not convinced that, say, if he went and played for Southampton, that suddenly that output
Brighton, Leicester,
be there.
Yeah.
I think he's got the technical qualities to actually probably play at a higher standard than you're thinking. Like, I don't think it's inconceivable that he could be part of a squad at a Tottenham or an Arsenal or a West Ham, for example. But I think because of his lack of physical output in terms of goals and assists, he's more likely to get looked at by... quite frankly, someone like Everton.
There is a lot of attacking midfielders out there in the league nowadays as well. I feel like it's the most crowded space in terms of players in those positions. I mean, we're overloaded.
The demand on these players now is to do more than just be assisters and stuff, right?
Yeah.
His attacking output is not enough. No matter who, what team he's playing for, it's not enough. As in, you can't say, oh, he's at Burnley. No, it's not good enough. He needs to be doing more.
And last but not least, James from Planet FPL says, recording in progress. Not a question, mate, but it means we are at the end of the Q&A.
Gracias, Alex.
Patrons, thank you so much for the questions. Of course, if you are listening but don't know where to ask, head over to Slack. Hashtag podquestions is the channel. Join, stick your questions in, and we will answer them next week, starting with my Valentine's Day, and then we'll move it on from there. Much love. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.